Money, government printing.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com. Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. Today, we're going to continue our study in the book of Ephesians, written by Paul the Apostle to the church at Ephesus. Last time, we left off in chapter 4 around... Well, let's see. Let's pick up at verse 20 here. Back up just a little bit. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. And this is about where we left off last time. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. There are people that steal by proxy. Of course, the government steals from them. Or they may steal another way by using that which they don't have permission to use, usurping another man's property or belongings and converting them for their own purpose. There are many ways to legally steal, too, using the government. For instance, Socialist Security is an entire system of theft where the gun of the state is used to steal from one man to give to another, to force men into charity. Forced charity is unlawful according to God's law, but forced charity is the norm in the societies and the governments of men. God hates forced charity. He looks for a cheerful giver. He never forced charity at any time. There is no forced charity in the kingdom of God. You'll only find that in the socialist kingdoms of men, because forced charity is not charity at all. It is theft, and it relieves people from the obligation of practicing true charity, which is giving with a cheerful heart. So many people try to justify the systems and the charity of the world where they force charity, force men to give that which they do not want to give. God is able to take care of the things that he needs to have taken care of and to take care of the poor. And you see what happens when you force charity to, say, take care of the poor. The poor become dependent upon that theft, and they become lazy. Where if you look into the charity that our Heavenly Father outlined in his law for giving to the poor, it would not allow the poor to become dependent upon it for their daily sustenance. It would not allow them to live their life without working for their bread. As the scripture says, if a man, and that goes for a woman, all of mankind, if someone doesn't work, they should not eat. Now, there are times when people can't work, and their kin, their nearest kin, should take care of them. Because the scripture also says that whoever doesn't take care of his own is worse than an infidel. So it goes to family. So you see, forced charity in the form of welfare is destructive to the society. It destroys families. It removes men from the household and makes them slaves to the state, making the women the rulers of the household, using the leverage of the children, which the state will side with them and help them take the children from the father and destroy the family. We have a whole society, all of these ills of society, which have come up around this forced charity. And then you have socialist security. Oh, you know, all of the intentions are so pure. The intentions are so right. Good intentions. You've heard the saying that the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and it is the truth. It always starts out with good intentions, but you have people with ulterior motives behind the good intentions. And then you have our enemy who seeks to destroy the family and people and the kingdom of God. Socialist security destroys families. It allows the elderly to become independent of their young, independent their families. And what do they look to? They look to the state, who uses the gun of the state to force people into charity, destroying the family, destroying the extended family, and the beautiful relationships that our Heavenly Father desired for us to have in family. Strong family governments that our Heavenly Father intended for us to have. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, not just to provide meat for his own mouth and his own immediate family, but that he may give to him that needeth. And you know what? Charity begins at home. You need to take care of your own first, your own family first. And that means you're infirm, you're sick, yours that are unable to work. You're elderly, and you're young and helpless and disabled. That's where it begins. And when a family can't do that, or people who are in that position of being elderly or being disabled and have no place else to turn, that's where the church or various charities step up and fill in the gap. But the first thing they do, when you have a charity, the first thing charity does is to point them to their family, to look into the family situation and try to resolve whatever the issue that is keeping this family apart. That would be a good function of the church and charity work. That's the first step, instead of the church saying, oh, go down to the state welfare office or the Social Security office. That's what they're there for. Relieving the church of its obligation to practice charity. Chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And I believe that's something that I do practice in my radio program here, and I try to practice that throughout my life. Sometimes anger wins, and some things that come out of my mouth in the moment of anger that aren't right. But we are a work in progress, aren't we? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And I say, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now, our Heavenly Father, these are the things, if you belong to Him, these are the first things that He's going to rout out of your life by His Holy Spirit. Fornication and all uncleanness. You know, the guys that like to tell the dirty jokes and dwell on those things. And covetousness. People are constantly have their hand out. People that receive checks every month from the state when they can work for a living. And even hide their labor. Yes, their cash labor. So they can continue to use the gun of the state to rob their neighbor. Covetousness. Taking. Truce breakers. Taking. Never paying back. Feigning the need for charity. When they have no need, they can go out and labor on their own. Covetousness. Now, then there's the opposite. People, their whole life is about chasing the dollar. They sacrifice everything for their career. They sacrifice their family, their children. They would rather, those moms would rather work a career and ship their children off to pagan idolaters to be trained, to be good little statists in the public education system. What a terrible price to pay for your covetousness, for your career, just so you can have the latest car and the best looking house, so you can have curb appeal. And at what price? The lives of your children, their souls in hell, and you losing your way yourself, being caught up in the cares of the world. Covetousness. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. And yes, I did say public education. That's what it's there for. It's your free babysitting service. And I should relay something. I recently went to a local fair that they have every year, and just appalling to see the high school children there, young girls dressed like sluts, you know, with hot pants and tank tops and high boots and tattoos all over their bodies. Just really heartbreaking to see these beautiful girls dressed up like sluts rather than like young women should be dressed, modestly, beautiful, with their faces and their bodies painted. To see teenage girls, 16, 17 years old, with such black gunk around their eyes that it just makes me want to puke. Hey, I'm sure all the little pagan boys love it, though, when they're walking around with hustler tank tops on, advertising what they are. Little sluts. Hey, yes, we learned in sex ed all about putting condoms on bananas or worse. I'm sure condoms on bananas is old. What they're doing now is probably doing the real thing, or at least watching pornographic videos or something, graphic books. And hey, don't worry, children, if you have a problem, enjoy the sex. And if you get pregnant, if you make a mistake, because the mistake is not the fornication. No, the mistake is if you know, your condom breaks, or you do it without protection. Protection from what? Something that God made beautiful for a purpose, to bring forth a godly seed, to keep the human race alive. Yes, we got to be protected from God's purpose in things. That's right. Only Satan would want to protect us from God's purpose. Oh, man. So there you have it. Filthiness. Foolish talking. Now, what is foolish talking? Sports? Is that kind of foolishness? Anything that doesn't amount to anything at all? I mean, who really cares who won the last game that played out with a slight variation on the 10 million same games before it? And then, oh, but it's this guy or that guy, this idol or that idol. Foolishness. What a waste of life and what a waste of time. It all amounts to nothing. So no filthiness, no foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient. So talking about foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't have fun. But I think he's here talking about foolishness and jesting that hurts people, and that is totally unnecessary. and even cruel, because he says, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Yes, should we be prudes? People will call you prudes and nice names like that, but they don't mean them nicely. But go ahead and compliment me, see if I care. For you know, for this you know, now listen, that no whoremonger. What is a whoremonger? Well, the prostitute, debauchee, fornicator, you know, it's like those high school girls, those poor little girls out there being trained to be good little sluts, walking around with hot pants, high boots, tattoos all over their bodies, and paint all over their eyes and their tank tops, advertising. Wow, you know, these parents must really hate their children. And, you know, shame on you if you call yourself a Christian and you send your children to these temples of humanism and idolatry to be trained by these pagans. And then you wonder, what went wrong? Oh, why didn't they follow us? We went to church every Sunday. We sent them to Sunday school. Yes, and your church practices, you know, they practice statism. Even in the church, they segregate. Oh, got to separate all the children from the adults. We got to play the little segregation game. We got to separate the families. We got to indoctrinate them in separating themselves one from another and breaking up into cliques, because that just builds on the pattern of destroying the family, of destroying the extended family, which God meant to be together, to build strong family, kingdom, government for his people, that they might raise or bring forth a godly seed. No whoremonger, nor unclean person, and impure, lewd, demonic, foul-mouthed, always just looking for one thing, and that's the things of this world, either sex or fame, money, unclean, covetous. He continues, who is an idolater? For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of his Christ. Wow. Cross the border into the kingdom of God, and all of these things are going to be left behind. They don't belong in his kingdom. If you think you can be in God's kingdom and practice, continue to practice these things, you're fooling yourself. The kingdom of God that you imagine is only in your own imagination. Because if you see, our God is looking for people, volunteers, people who will volunteer to live in his kingdom and to live by his law and to do those things which please him. Their heart's cry is, Father, teach me obedience. Father, write your law upon my heart that I might not sin against you. And you know, if that's your heart's cry, then you are in his kingdom. That doesn't mean you're not going to fall down. That doesn't mean that you won't make a mistake. But when you do, because you're in his kingdom, if you do fall down, you're going to reach for his hand. And hopefully you'll reach for his hand before you hit the ground. Because hitting the ground is no fun. Yes, falling down is never fun. But that's the point we want to get to, where we can walk without falling. Oh, we might stumble a little bit, but we doesn't matter if we stumble, we fall, we get back up, because we're in his kingdom, and the true desire of our heart is to do the things that please him, to do only that which pleases our heavenly Father. So, I'll repeat it once more completely. For this you know. Know it. I know it. This you know. That no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He rules the nations with a rod of iron. Yes, that's what it says about our Messiah. The civil government, Paul said, is there to punish evildoers. Now, that doesn't mean that the civil government doesn't punish the righteous at the same time. It doesn't mean that sometimes the righteous don't get trampled. by the unjust laws that are there. The tyrannical laws are there because of the tyranny of sin that rules in the hearts of most men out here. That's what you want. You want to get rid of tyranny? Get rid of the tyranny of sin in your life. And the more people that do that, the less tyranny we'll have in our nation. You ain't going to fight it and win it with guns and the militia. You ain't going to fight it and win it by protesting. You ain't going to fight it and win it by voting the right guy into office. There's only one life you can change on this planet, and that is your own life. Look in the mirror. Tyranny rules. Are you covetous? Are you stealing when you could work? Oh, but what will I do if I can't get my monthly check from the state? Because the money I make under the table, it isn't enough. Trust God. He will provide. It'll be enough. I would rather go without than to live in covetousness. I would rather go hungry. It would be good for my soul to practice a little involuntary fasting rather than forgetting His benefits by looking to the state, the idolatry of statism, and depending upon the gun of the state to steal from my neighbor so that I can have, because I become dependent, because I don't know how to think, and I don't know how to walk by faith. The just shall walk by faith. The just do not walk depending on the benefits of Caesar and justifying it any way they can. Oh, I'll take everything I can get from the state. Well, as long as they're handing it out, and I'll use it against them. Yes, that justifies it. You're going to go out there and steal from a man who's evil so you can use it against him? How about your neighbor? You know, you don't like the guy, but he works hard for his money. But you can steal from him to use it against the evil that he's doing. Yes, I hear it all the time. These are the things that people deceive themselves with. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You know who you are if you hear this, but most of these people would never listen to a program like this because it would cut them to the quick. That's the word of God. It's not me. It's him. It's his word. I'm just sharing it with you as he would have this preacher preach it or teach it, whichever way you want to look at it. I do a little mixture of preaching and teaching. Be not therefore partakers with them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for removing my foot from their path. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk ye as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to take a little break here. We'll be back after some messages.
Joy to the living God. You are my King. I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation under the heavenly Father with grace, mercy, and justice for all.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
I just talked with one of these elite the other day, and he told me the latest of everything the elite have planned for the world for the next 2 years.
Shocking. This DVD, Tragedy, Hope, and Reality, the latest title by Lindsay Williams. Our production team at First Amendment Radio has condensed Lindsay's three DVD set down to a single DVD presentation.
So I'm going to tell you right now, up front, everything that I feel will impact your life in a major way in the next 24 months.
2.5 hours of the most important details of what the elite have planned for America and the world.
Within 2 years, he said, you will not recognize the United States of America.
Will you be ready?
And here is the part that startled me more about anything that he said. He said, war is planned, and he told me where it's going to be.
Will you even believe it?
Gasoline will remain the price it is right now until we have war. You're going to be paying $4 to $10 a gallon overnight.
First, you must see it. Two copies, one for you and one for you to give away when you send a support donation of $20 to First Amendment Radio. Use the chip-in event on our website or send $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. Make copies and give them away. A wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. Tragedy, hope, reality.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and my website is crosstheborder.org. And what we mean by cross the border is to cross the border into the kingdom of God and obtain eternal life. There's absolutely nothing more important than this. The prize, the greatest thing that this life has to offer, is not the riches of this world. It's not things, it's not fame, it's not fortune, and all of the things that you can't take with you when you die. Your mortal existence is a gift from God, something that you is not even owed to you. That's right, it's not even owed to you. You go back to the beginning, when the first man and woman, yes, our great-great-grandparents, the mother and father of us all, Adam and Eve, They broke God's law. They committed theft. They did that which was unlawful by taking that which did not belong to them. That was the first experiment with disobedience, and it was a fatal experiment. because the Heavenly Father, the Creator, told them, said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And they did surely die. We're all born with that same death sentence, because he said, and I believe this clarifies what it means by you shall surely die. A lot of people say, well, the scripture's wrong because they didn't surely die in that day. Well, I think the Heavenly Father clarifies it when he said, from dust you came and to dust you shall return. Does that clarify the you shall surely die sentence? And how about this? You're all born with it. I was born with it. Every single one of us that is living now, we shall surely die. Do you get it? Do you understand it? The greatest evidence that God's word is true is in that statement, you shall surely die. And God did not owe us this life. It is only by grace that he did not kill them immediately, as many people demand. The word is wrong. The Bible's wrong because they didn't die. What happened? Well, what happened is they did receive that death sentence. And the sentence was, you shall surely die. And they received it in the day that they sinned. I hope that clarifies it for you. It's so obvious because, you know, the reality of our situation, the reality of their situation can only lead us, you know, the evidence of nature in our very own lives and the lives of our parents tells us what the truth of the situation is. But many people just like to find fault and be able to bring accusations against the Creator. But you shall surely die, and you have a grace period. God is so good. He didn't owe us life. He could have terminated it then, and none of us would have been born. But he had another plan. He had the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He had a plan, and he gave us grace. He gave Adam and Eve grace, time to choose his plan for redemption, which I believe they did choose. That's the evidence I see anyway. The seed line of the Messiah was carried forward by faithful men looking forward to the Messiah and God's plan for redemption. Grace. He gives us grace. Why are you living now? All of you atheists and skeptics and all, there was no such person as Adam and Eve. You're living in a fantasy world. No, I'm not. Because one thing I do know is I shall surely die. Explain that one to me. Why don't we just live forever? Why the corruption of the flesh that testifies that the Word of God is true? Why? If evolution is true, why aren't we evolving and getting better forever instead of being born and corrupting and dying after we mature? Tell me. You have no explanation for it. I have an explanation, and it's the Word of God, and it's the truth. He gives you grace. He gave all of us grace, time to choose his plan for redemption. And then he added grace to that when his plan for redemption was fulfilled by the Messiah, yes, Yahushua, also called Jesus in the West, Señor in down south of where I'm at, called by different names and different dialects, but he knows who are his and who's really calling upon him. Because our God is big. He's huge, you know. He's not tripped up by language and things like that men are tripped up by. But you have grace. Choose life. There is nothing more important that you obtain that eternal life available only through his plan for redemption. By the shedding of his blood, he covered our sins. So that when we come to that point where we shall surely die, by faith, his blood covers our sins, and we will be released from death just as he was released from death. Yes, his body did die. He gave it up willingly to show us the way and to pay the price for us so that his blood would be applied to our account. And then once you accept that and you start walking in his kingdom, you repent of your sins, and you allow his Holy Spirit to work in your life, reproving the evil that's there, bringing you to repentance, writing his law upon your mind and your heart, having your mind renewed by faith, trusting in him. Then you get that extra grace that came through Jesus Christ the grace that allows us in to His kingdom, allows us to boldly go before the throne of God, allows us to receive a portion of His Holy Spirit that gives us that assurance and bears witness with our spirit that the things that He has promised us are sure, they are true, and we can absolutely, undeniably count on them even more than our own life. And who can dissuade us if God has shown us what He has prepared for us? Who can take that away from us? No one. Hold fast in the grace wherein you stand and wherein you will be saved. Let nothing separate you from the love of God. We're in Ephesians chapter 5. Well, let's just back up to the beginning of the chapter there. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And you know, I love it. He is a father to us, and we are His children. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the Everlasting from the beginning. He is the Creator of all things. And He adopts us as His own children. But He loves us too much to let us wallow in the mire. Oh, He wants to clean us up, and He wants to train us properly. He wants to teach us obedience so that our life will be the best that it can possibly be. That's what obedience to our Heavenly Father brings to us. Life never gets better than when we're walking in obedience to our Heavenly Father, to His Word, to His law. And add to that, we're doing it because we desire to live a life that is pleasing to Him. And that's how we know that we're in His kingdom. Dear children, be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not once be named once among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, foolish talking, or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, pay attention now, you don't want to miss it, no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man. And we spent quite a bit of time in the last segment talking about a lot of these things, and there's a lot more. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. If He convicts you of something, do something about it. Don't justify it to Him. You know, people talk about the unforgivable sin that the blasphemers, those who blaspheme the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Ghost? Well, I've considered that. Blasphemers of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the job of the Holy Ghost is to convict us of sin. The unbelievers, convict them of sin. You know, the scripture also says that the prayer of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. There's only one prayer of the wicked that our Heavenly Father is going to hear, and that's a prayer of repentance. Forgive me! I see my sin. See, that's what the Holy Ghost does in the world. It convicts of sin. It's looking for those that will turn to God and say, forgive me, and then allow the Holy Ghost to continue to work in their lives, convicting them of this sin and helping them in this area, helping to write God's law upon your heart to bring you in agreement with Him so that by faith the works will follow. By faith, His law being written upon your heart will teach you obedience. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your lives. Allow Him. Do not blaspheme His Holy Spirit. Now, there are many pretenders out there who go to church and they pretend to be Christians, but they don't allow the Holy Spirit to clean their lives up. Oh, they hate the law of God. It was nailed to the cross. Well, if you believe that, what's the Holy Ghost? You know, the part where He said, I will write my law upon their minds and in their hearts. How does that work without the Holy Ghost? How does that work if you hate His law and you even brag about breaking it? To show your faith, of course. I'm so faithful. Yes, I have faith. You have to keep the law because you don't have faith. No, you got it backwards, pal. You know, I keep the law because I have faith. that God's word is true and holy and just and good, and that his law is holy and just and good. And I believe that. That's why I desire to have him write his law upon my heart, that I might not sin against him. If that isn't faith, I don't know what faith is then. If faith is breaking the law and bragging about it, then I don't want your kind of faith. I'm sorry, because I'd have to reject the Holy Ghost teaching me obedience by writing his law upon my heart. If his law isn't being written in my mind and in my heart, what am I going to be obedient to? I will be lawless, like you. Cross the border into his kingdom. His kingdom has a king, and the king has laws. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Another thing he said, now I'd like to hear some of these preachers explain this one to me. He said, whoever breaks the least commandments and teaches men so shall be the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them shall be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Explain that one to me. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not partakers with them. Yeah, don't take part. They want to brag about the sin, how they can break God's law because they have grace and they have faith and you're weak. Yes. So, be not ye therefore partakers with them, the children of disobedience. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, who gets to decide what is acceptable unto the Lord? Is that up to me? Is that up to you? Is that up to the corporate preacher down there at the church? Is that up to the televangelist pastor? What is right and acceptable? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You know, I think that maybe what is acceptable unto the Lord is up to him, is up to the Lord. Not up to me, not up to a corporate pastor, not up to some faulty doctrine that says the law was nailed to the cross. It contradicts Jesus, doesn't it? In his own words, the Messiah's words. When he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Not everyone who says, Lord, calls me Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And what's the will of the Father who is in heaven? Well, he gave us his word. Maybe we should study it and find out what is his will. Instead of just saying, we don't have to do that. That heavy burden, that was for them Jews way back then. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Yeah, thank God I don't see what's done of them in secret. And I don't even want a window to what's done of them in secret. And yes, we have it. It's on the computer now. Man, just run. Like Jesus said, pluck out your eye and cast it from you. You know, if you can't go on a computer without peering into those secret places of wickedness. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Yes, let everything. If you got to hide to do anything, then it's not in the light. Let everything you do be out in the open, that there's be nothing to be ashamed of. You know, when you're, yes, fathers, children, sons, daughters, when you're on that computer, make sure that screen is facing out where everyone can see what's on it all the time. And you parents, when you don't let your children have a computer in the room where they can hide. You put that computer in a public place in the household where everyone can see. And you explain why you're doing it. Yes, explain why you're doing it. Explain to them why you need to even do it. For all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Pay attention to your life. Pay attention to what you're doing. Listen to the words that come out of your mouth. Listen to the things that you're putting into your mind. What are the words of the music? Do you listen to the idolatry of romance music? I'll get it on, baby, and all that stuff, and, you know, fornication and adultery all day long on the radio. Do you bebop to that kind of crapola? Yes, walk circumspectly. And you know what circumspectly means? Well, you know, circumspectly means having your eyes completely open, knowing what the effects of the things that you do are doing are on your whole life, circumspectly, looking the big picture and seeing how not only does what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're watching, what you're allowing to pollute your mind, seeing how it affects you and your family and your witness and your community and your nation. That's what it means to walk circumspectly, not as fools. See, the fools out there, they just go out there. Just do it. They said I'm supposed to do this, so I'm going to go down and sign up for the socialist programs. Yes. They told me I have to do this. I'm going to just send my children off to the pagan idolatry temples there so they can be public schooled with all the other good little pagans, and my daughters and my sons can turn into sluts and whoremongers. You ain't got the big picture. Is your job worth that much, to sell the souls of your children and your own soul? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul and loses his children and his grandchildren after him? Oh, yes, they'll all be in hell with you, and you won't enjoy their company. Nobody will be enjoying themselves forever, walking as fools. If it tastes good, eat it. Oh, the FDA is going to look out for me. That's right. I can eat whatever I want. Yeah. I had bacon this morning. It don't bother me. I have faith. You guys that don't eat pork, you're weak. Yes, I hear stuff like this, man. Fools! See, then you walk circumspectly. You know, look for the foods which God created to be received, which He set apart by His Word. That's what it says. Sanctified by the Word of God. Set apart. Those are the foods which He created to be received with thanksgiving by those that know the truth. Pretty much quoting Scripture there when he's talking about diet. Circumspectly realizing that God gave us the dietary laws for our own good, for our own health, so that we could be healthy and vibrant and work in His kingdom without having our flesh destroyed because we're walking around like fools with our eyes closed, singing the little jingles that they put on the television set so that we can eat the poison that will destroy our flesh. Walk circumspectly and not as fools. Pay attention. What are you allowing into your house on the television, in the music, in the radio, and the people? What do you worship at the altar of man's achievements in sports? I mean, I'll tell you what, when I see these guys running in tights down a field after a pigskin ball, you know, it looks like the same last million games that they had. Just men in tights chasing a pigskin, you know? What is special about that? Oh, but it's this guy or that guy. And now we're idolizing men? All of them are going to end up in the grave. And all of their accomplishment is temporary gain. You worship them, they get rich. Very good. Walk circumspectly and not as fools, but as wise. Yeah, circumspectly. If you walk circumspectly, get the big picture. You know, step outside yourself. Listen to the words coming out of your mouth. Listen to the words going into your ears. Judge them according to truth. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you understand what the will of the Lord is? How do we, you know, Paul was writing this to the Ephesians, and the Ephesians were getting this letter, this epistle from him. What did they have to understand what the will of the Lord is? What did those Bereans search day and night to see if it was true? Well, they had the Word of God. What Word of God did they have? The only Word of God they had was the Law and the Prophets. You think you could understand what the will of the Lord is from the Law and the Prophets? You bet you could. They all pointed to Christ. And now we have more even. But they're everything in the New Testament verifies the law of God. There's nothing that casts it down. As a matter of fact, it raises the standard. See, the law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery. He raised the standard. Well, does that mean that you just can't look at a woman to lust after her, but you can actually commit adultery now? See, that's ridiculous, saying the law is nailed to the cross. No, he raised the standard. He got to the spirit of the matter. But let me tell you something, okay? There's a man who looks on a woman to lust after her, but he doesn't go any further. And then there's the man who actually looks on a woman to lust after her, and then he goes and seduces that woman and commits adultery with her. Now, who's going to suffer more in their flesh? The man who wanted to do it but didn't, or the man who actually did it? See, there's still degrees of sin. He raised the standard, yes, but he didn't make them equal, because even the Messiah himself explained that there are degrees of punishment for sin, that there are greater sins and lesser sins. So a lesser sin is lusting after. The greater sin is actually going and doing it, but we're to avoid both. He raised the standard to keep us from lusting after, because he says then it's a spiritual adultery. Oh, we're running out of time. We're going to take a break here for the news, so a brief musical interlude. I hope you'll enjoy that and come back after the news. You're listening to Cross the Border.
Yes, God.